to be a really world-class marketer, you have to get out of the four walls of your building. You have to be much more immersed than ever before. I always say all the answers are sitting with the customer. So a lot of times as marketers, you know, we might be grappling with some positioning and messaging or a tagline or something in a campaign. And we all like to hear ourselves talk, but the reality is if we just leave the building and we go talk to the customers and we listen to the words they're using, right there is the message, right there is the tag.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Marketing Cloudcast, a podcast where trailblazers talk marketing. I'm your co-host, Megan Collins, and today we have the pleasure of being joined by the Chief Marketing Officer of Salesforce, Stephanie Buscemi. She shares with us four key takeaways from the fifth annual State of Marketing Report. When talking with Stephanie, I could feel the energy and the passion she has for marketing and the excitement she has for being a CMO in 2019. She came to Salesforce leading our product marketing organization about 4.5 years ago, and she was also the CMO at IHS Market. And she built her entire career in various marketing roles, including being an SVP of marketing at SAP. So it's safe to say she's well-versed when it comes to advice in this area. So without further ado, here's my interview with Stephanie Buscemi, Chief Marketing Officer of Salesforce.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Buscemi. I'm our Chief Marketing Officer at Salesforce, and I've been with Salesforce about 4.5 years. In different marketing leadership roles. I took on the CMO role about 30 days before Dreamforce.
Classic. Good timing there.
Exactly. Well, Dreamforce is truly a machine, and it's a company-wide effort. So I couldn't be more thankful. People were incredibly supportive, and everyone really knows how to play their position. You know, it's a team sport, Dreamforce. So came in for that and was highly focused on that, obviously, for the first 30 days. And then with Dreamforce behind us, that allowed me to kind of get across the entire organization, just really trying to have kind of a beginner's mind, conscious that I had been at Salesforce 4.5 years and know everyone in the marketing organization, but maybe not the way I need to know them now. And so trying to kind of hit the reset button over the last 90 days, re-engage people that I've worked with on different projects over the years, but reach them now as CMO and talk to them kind of about our path forward.
Yeah, and just for those who don't know what Dreamforce is, what, 170,000 people come to San Francisco?
That's right. Over 4 days, 170,000 people. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, so it's not a easy task there. So definitely a team effort. So it's exciting time to come in. And so we're excited to have you as our leader here. And I want to know, what is maybe one thing that you didn't expect out of the CMO position that you now is on the table and part of your role?
Well, one thing I really didn't expect is my most recent role, I had been leading our product marketing organization. And so I'm constantly or was constantly engaging with customers around what is our product strategy and direction, what is our product roadmap. So I was frequently in a position where I was communicating to them the product direction of the company and, you know, trying to inspire them and get their commitment to go on this journey with us. Dreamforce was really interesting because a lot of folks asked for meetings with me and I assumed, you know, just kind of I would be, again, communicating. And I didn't realize how many people were going to be selling to me. a lot of people have come forward, you know, across different industries, whether it's media, whether it's conferences. And so that kind of took me back. I think I just have to look with a different lens now and just be a little bit more aware of that. And but it was good. I kind of went into it and thought, well, this is good. I'm just going to go on a listening tour and see how people show up. And as a marketer, I'm always keen to hear people's stories and how they show up and their communicate their value prop.
One of the many things I loved about this interview is the perspective that Stephanie has on marketing and how listening is a huge piece of being a good marketer. This has helped her as she's transformed our marketing organization in just a few short months. In fact, the first takeaway from the fifth annual State of Marketing Report is centered around the concept of marketers being the central piece of the overall customer experience. And it's not just us saying it. This report spans over 4,000 marketers across 19 countries. And what it revealed is that marketers are transforming their marketing organizations.
Yeah, I definitely think the marketing organization is changing. I think what is in process but isn't done by any stretch is that we're going to have to change the composition of talent and re-kind of think what the marketing bench looks like. I feel like there was a period of time that it was so focused on specialization, functional specialization. This person's social, this person's email, you know, whether it was a channel or a product or a service. And I know I personally look for people who, yes, they may have a specialization, but more important is that they understand the customer. And it's become increasingly important. That can't be relegated to a market research team, an insights team, a focus group team. I think everyone, to be a really world-class marketer, you have to get out of the four walls of your building. You have to be much more immersed than ever before. I always say all the answers are sitting with the customer. So a lot of times as marketers, you know, we might be grappling with some positioning and messaging or a tagline or something in a campaign. And we all like to hear ourselves talk. But the reality is if we just leave the building and we go talk to the customers and we listen to the words they're using, right there is the message. Right there is the tag. The answers sit with them.
Yeah. And we talk a lot about empathy. It seems to be a common topic of the last couple of folks we've interviewed. But any thoughts about how to have empathy for the consumer?
I think having empathy for the consumer means showing up and then listening.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you've listened and they've communicated that you're being respectful of their time and you're responding to their feedback. I think being probably one of the best things you can do to be empathetic is to listen. It's just to really deeply listen. And I think there was a period of time within marketing that, you know, it was sort of a volume game. We got a raft of new channels available to us. And so it was just, you know, more megaphones, more ways to push out more messages. And I think people are taking a step back from that now and going, wait a minute, okay, there will always be a new channel.
Mm-hmm.
There's always going to be the new channel du jour, but, you know, it's almost too much. And now there's all these messages across all these channels, and it's too much for the consumer, for the customer to rationalize in their head. And so we need to come back. We need to think about how we orchestrate these messages, and we have to figure out in what voice, you know, it's more about having a conversation now than so much of what is your pitch or your promotion.
It's not one size fits all. Sorry.
That's right.
Yeah. And kind of on that note where we put the consumer first, I think one of the pieces we've gotten from this report is that when multiple departments share a common goal, for instance, the consumer, putting them at the center, we see an increase in that. And we see that people are starting to meet their goals. So do you have any thoughts on how different departments are now sharing a same common goal?
It's interesting that you say that, because I think if companies are going to do this well, this being engage their customers and their consumers like never before, it is going to take a whole new set of business models and frameworks and a whole new set of KPIs, of key performance indicators that are shared across an organization. And while there are some companies doing that, I do think we're in the nascent stages of that. I think we have a long way to go. Think about it right now. Like if you listen to an earnings call for a company, there are tried and true financial metrics that drive the street. Victory for all of us will be when you start to hear beyond financial performance metrics. Like when we all have that shared set of customer and consumer metrics that everyone across the organization truly owns, that they're an indicator of a company's well-being and performance. I mean, imagine that if those non-financial metrics got elevated to the same place. And so I think there'll be models developed, and it'll take some time before there's a standardization of of a given set of models that are maybe pervasive across industry or across all industries. Right now, we're just getting started. I do think it's a really amazing leadership opportunity for a CMO, because when you look in an organization right now, more often than not, the CEO is turning to the CMO. Again, my favorite.
No pressure.
Well, but again, back to my favorite part of being a CMO, because the CMO sits at the epicenter between what is it your company manufactures, makes, does, what is it products and services, and what's your distribution, how do you sell it, and marketing sits there, it plays a glue role, a kind of connective tissue role to get across the whole field to make sure that it's a really great experience for your customer. And so the CEO is looking to the CMO to help be a master orchestrator in that. I think it's an incredible opportunity for CMOs. You know, it's going to be a big step up. And I think some will rise to it and some will not. Mm-hmm. I think if you're back kind of looking at individual marketing channels and focus there, you're going to miss the boat. I think it's a complete privilege, because I look at it and think, I don't think it could ever be a better time to be a CMO. I mean, mm-hmm. if you look back to, let's start with Y2K. That was the time of the CIO. The CEO was like, what is going to happen with Y2K CIO? And then that was a lot of visibility for the CIO. And then if you look in the early 2000s and then the crash with the financial market in the 2000s, it was the time of the CFO. And all new regulation was introduced. Sarbanes-Oxley, you name your regulation, there's a regulation hype cycle. But it was really the CFO was at the center there. And right now, the CEO is turning to the CMO and saying, I have to digitally transform my organization. And the reason I have to do this is to create better customer and consumer experiences. And I need you to help quarterback this. And I think it's really about leading and being able to lead through influence, because not everything's going to report to you. It's beyond the four walls of marketing. And coming with a perspective on how to do that, with recommended business processes. I mean, it's not going to work with existing business processes. They need to be reimagined, and an associate set new set of KPIs and measurements need to be brought forward.
Stephanie talked a lot about how organizations are transforming, and it goes beyond the four walls of marketing. One piece in particular that I wanted to dive into was how she and her counterparts have merged to become what she refers to as TMP, which is a department at Salesforce now comprised of technology, marketing, and product.
We moved the marketing organization. First of all, we consolidated the marketing organization. We had a corporate marketing function, a product marketing, industry marketing. We brought it all together. And people always ask, well, is that good or is that bad? And I've been doing this for, 23 years now. And I can tell you, I've seen it separate. I've seen it together. I've seen it 20 ways to Sunday. There's pros and cons to each. And I think it really matters most where a company is in its journey and what it's trying to do. And I think for Salesforce, it's a really good time to have it together, because we've grown so fast, both through innovation, building of new product, and being acquisitive. And the reality, though, is each of those acquisitions has a real purpose, the same purpose, which is to create a customer engagement platform. And so it's all about the sum of the parts is really the differentiation of Salesforce. It's not the individual pieces. It's the platform. And so I think coming together and having the team, all of marketing, center around that and rally around a single message that's what's right for us right now.
So we just covered our first key takeaway from the State of Marketing report. Marketing becomes the center of connecting customer experiences. Now we have three more takeaways to get to, and we will get there just in a moment. But if you're interested in downloading this report, you can go to sforce.co/stateofmarketing, all lowercase there. All right, so now let's get to our next key takeaway. More customer data sources are upping the ante for identity resolution. We found that in 2019, marketers will have on average 15 data sources, while just 3 years ago, there were 10 data sources. So rapid growth is happening when it comes to data.
I think we're just getting started. I actually think we'll have way more.
Oh, yeah.
And if I sort of flash forward to what I think it's going to look like, I don't know, 3-5 years, think about IoT, Internet of Things. I mean, the reality is that we are going to have sensors in products. We are going to have sensors in nature. So imagine your athletic apparel, and you're going to be able to have information about how many people are running a certain trail. You're going to be able to have information about how many calories I'm burning wearing this track shirt or running shirt. That is going to throw off so much more information. So I guess my message right now is, if marketers are overwhelmed, don't be, because there's more data coming. Marketing in particular has one of the most fragmented landscapes of marketing tools and technologies, more than any other department. Mm-hmm. Many have seen, I think it was 5 years ago, there was maybe 150, and now it's like there's over 5,000 different marketing technologies out there to get different tools. It's a very crowded space. And I think CMOs need to go back and rationalize that. I don't think anyone's probably going to standardize on one vendor, but there's a raft of tools, and people need to standardize. And the reason they need to standardize down to a strategic view is they need to be able to create a single customer identity.
So understand that I may be a runner. I like to run these paths because I have a chip in my shoe or whatnot.
Yep,
you but can. I also love to eat pretzel M&Ms. Just saying.
Yeah.
There might be a correlation there.
You're going there right now. The permutations will be endless.
Yeah. Everyone's unique.
And we will need, as marketers, the technology to help us. We will need AI also to be able to go across this data and help give us the insights and help automate some of this, just because of the sheer volume of data.
This brings us to our third key takeaway, artificial intelligence. According to the State of Marketing report, marketers are saying that AI powers personalized marketing at the crossroads of trust. We saw that the average marketer with AI currently uses it in 2 different ways, but plans to use it in an additional 4 ways by 2020. Things like real-time next best offers, predictive journeys, automated social and messenger app interactions, and dynamic landing pages, just to name a few.
I was at a CMO event last week, and there were about 25 CMOs there. And I would say everyone is using AI, but in varying capacities. I would say probably 60% of them are still in the early stages, and then maybe another 20 are using it pretty regularly, and then there's like the upper 20 that are what I would say kind of leading edge in terms of use cases that they're using. I think everyone sees the opportunity with it. I will say everyone is cautiously optimistic because of so much going on with GDPR for the need with privacy and trust. So I think people see the promise of AI to deliver greater personalization, but they're balancing personalization with privacy. And so I think people are just being really smart. Marketers are being really smart to say, I need to do the due diligence to make sure that I'm doing this in a trusted, compliant way, that I'm respecting the individual's data.
Any tips on that trust piece of it and how marketers are dealing with GDPR that you've seen?
Yeah, I think we need to get over the notion of the customer or the consumer's data. I actually think we will get to a place where people own their identity, which sounds kind of crazy. Shouldn't we own our identity now? But if you really think about it, people can buy your information. And I think we will get to a place where people will be able to own their data and be much more in direct control of how their information is utilized. In absence of that being there today, I think we should just operate that way. And so things like preference centers, where people can come and choose how to interact with you, and not in a binary way, like I opt in, I opt out. The reality is, okay, that's great, but that's pretty elementary. if you asked me across retail, you know, do you want to opt in or out? It's like, well, no, there's certain things I want to receive. There's certain things I don't want to receive.
Now on to our fourth and final key takeaway from the 5th Annual State of Marketing Report. And that is, marketers are striving for real-time engagement across channels. Stephanie touched on this a little bit earlier, but I wanted to dive deeper into how we can actually meet those real-time expectations of our customers, delivering that perfect message or action or experience at the precise time that is relevant for them.
I know you mentioned real-time is something that marketers are really thinking about, but what's interesting is that real-time is both a challenge and also a priority in 2019. That's what we're seeing in our State of Marketing report. So any thoughts on just what that looks like? You have a challenge and a priority in the same situation.
I think it gets back to what needs to be in place. I think real-time is not going to be possible without marketers solving for that single customer identity. In most cases, I see that they're still trying to get that locked down. And so that is a prerequisite to being able to then have an orchestration engine in place that can say, hey, this came in on social, but now I want that to trigger an email or vice versa, name your channel. So I think it's a good thing. It'll get people focused on solving for that single customer identity. And once that's in place, I know, you know, here at Salesforce and I'm sure elsewhere, but we have a solution for that orchestration. But it's really about making sure first that we know who the individual is and what are their preferences.
All right, and a couple fun questions to wrap things up. Not that the other ones weren't fun, but what are you most excited about this next year, being a CMO of Salesforce, one of the largest tech companies in the world?
I'm excited because I look and sort of at the big picture of what's going on in the world around us, and there's a lot. It's a pretty tense time, you know. The political landscape is pretty tough. From North America to France to England with Brexit. There's a lot to be done. There's a lot of social issues to challenge, environmental issues. And I couldn't be more proud to be CMO of Salesforce because as a company, everyone here is really, really focused that business can be a platform for change, that we're not just here to sell our products and services. We're actually here to give back. We're actually here to make the world a better place. And that can sound lofty at times, but then I look at the number of hands-on initiatives, things that we're doing every single day as an organization, and it's super fulfilling and a privilege to get to lead people across doing that. I think everyone's kind of done waiting for some leader to do something, and I think we should never underestimate what we can do as individuals. And so I'm very proud that here that we're actually waking up and taking action and doing meaningful things to make it a better place.
I love it. And if you had $1 million come into your budget randomly, magic, what would you do with it?
For marketing?
As the CMO.
$1 million, maybe I'd work on mental health to help the homeless in San Francisco. But if we're talking about a marketing budget, for a marketing budget, we have so many amazing customer trailblazers out there. I would just invest it in outreach to all of them and capturing their stories. I mean, we're just getting started, but I'm totally blown away when I travel and I meet different customers and they sit down and start telling their stories. It's what inspires me. And so with that, I would do far more to capture more of those stories and then amplify those individuals out in the public so that people can see the success that they're garnering with us and how they're really changing their lives professionally and personally.
I love it. Kind of on that note, our final question we ask all of our guests is, what does a trailblazer mean to you?
A pioneer. Somebody who just charges new ground, uncharted territory, fearless, and somebody who breaks new ground and creates a path for people, a positive path for people, for others to come along.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. We're really excited to have you, and thank you for all that you do for Salesforce.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much to Stephanie Buscemi, Chief Marketing Officer of Salesforce, for joining the show today. To get the full 5th Annual State of Marketing Report, you can go to sforce.co/stateofmarketing, all lowercase there. We also have a listener survey where we're giving away Cloudcast swag, which is always fun. So be sure to be one of those first 25 people to respond, and we'll deliver some really cool swag to you. You can take the survey at sforce.co/marketingcloudcastsurvey. Again, all lowercase there. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks to our editing partners from Think Ahead Studio and music from audible.com.